You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope, where your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray.
Hello, and welcome back to our astrology mini-series, in which we take a character trait associated with a certain star sign, this week being Scorpio, my sign, and talk about how it manifests as both a strength and a weakness in fictional characters. As a necessary disclaimer, we are not talking about characters who are canonically Scorpios, nor are we trying to imply that any of the characters talked about today are Scorpios in every way. Astrology is already kind of subjective, very subjective, so we're simply talking about a single trait. And this week's trait is mystery. So First, as an overview, Scorpios are generally considered to be loyal, passionate, intuitive, secretive, ambitious, honest, and obsessive. They're stereotyped as controlling and temperamental, and they don't usually let people get too close to them or let people know them too well, which, of course, makes for a very mysterious person or character. So, first question, who are the characters that come to mind for you guys when we talk about this mysterious Scorpio energy?
How do I pick just one?
You don't have to.
I know. we talked about this very briefly before, but we had mentioned Phantom of the Opera, and the Phantom is,
of course,
definitely mysterious.
That was the first thing that came to my mind too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of part of the magic of Phantom of the Opera is you have, well, first off, aesthetic and music, but then also it's like, who actually is this guy, and you know, what's his true story? You get a little bit of that, but yeah, there's like an underlying mystery there.
Yep.
I was also thinking of, I know, well, if anybody plays video games, the Outsider in Dishonored is a very mysterious, powerful character.
What is he like?
He's like mysterious. He's the person that sort of facilitates your magic in the game and directs you to like the objective that you're trying to do, and you don't know entirely what his game is, like whether he's a good guy or a bad guy exactly. And you meet with him in this like surreal alternate dimension dream space when you encounter him, when he wants to have a conversation with you.
He controls
I feel like mystery would be a good character trait in video games. Like that seems very advantageous. This isn't necessarily a character, but the first thing that came to mind for me, well, after Phantom of the Opera, is kind of like Donna Tartt novels and like all the dark academia. Like that has very strong Scorpio energy.
I also I was thinking The Secret History, and mostly like Julian and Henry to some extent.
Like, thinking back on it, like, the characters themselves aren't really that mysterious. Like, they're just kind of dumb college kids who speak Latin. But, like, I don't know. It's the whole vibe of it is very mysterious.
It's, and more gets revealed about them. So, you have a character and you think you understand them, and then you find out something else about them, and you kind of over and over again are like, do I really know what this person is about?
That's true. Yeah. And you have to wonder, like, which of the things revealed are actually true and which are just like the narrator's opinion.
But it is kind of interesting to me. I mean, with the characters that we were just talking about, how whenever I read or play or like watch anything with like a mysterious character, I do wonder, I'm like, is this character going to betray the main character? Should I even trust this character? And like thinking about Donna Tartt novels or just like The Secret History specifically, there was definitely the, we don't really see what these characters do on page. at times. And so it mm-hmm. does make you wonder, like, you're not seeing them as the reader. Are we, like, you know, what are they truly like? We just see kind of like a performance almost.
Yeah, that is true. And interesting. It's very narrator specific, like how mysterious your characters are.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because I was thinking of like, okay, the secret history, we do, however, get like little pieces of information about like their background, and we realize they are really dumb college students and everything. but then you have books like The Night Circus. Mm-mm. And you have characters like the man in the gray suit, who we don't know his name. You never learn his name throughout the book. He's called different things, but you basically know nothing about him. And like, that's another piece too, is like, okay, but at the end of it, the reader doesn't have many answers. And so we're left to wonder like who this character is. So kind of like Phantom of the Opera, similar vein there, but I think that's intriguing. If done well, it can be done poorly, which we will talk about later. But
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that you get as well, there are some characters that are mysterious and stay mysterious through the story. Mm-hmm. I think what's probably more common is you have characters that start off as mysterious until they aren't. So there's the first thing that comes to mind is Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. You start off wondering if that person is even real, but by the end, he's just another person, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but I think that's the case with a lot of characters, like in pop culture as well. That's, I think that's the case with Edward Cullen and so many darker paranormal romance stories. And also with like so many of the characters in Harry Potter, like I think Lupin and Sirius and Snape and Dumbledore, they all become kind of mysterious, or become kind of mysterious, and then generally become less mysterious.
Yeah, they're just an ordinary character at a certain point.
Yeah, pretty much. You know too much about them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed about this is like these mysterious characters tend to fall into like one of two very specific groups. Like it's either powerful men with money and secrets, or it's like younger women with no time for your shit. Like those are your mysterious characters.
Oh, wait, no, I have an exception.
Okay.
I'm sure there are
from an anime. Oh, but yeah, like for sure that's it's either like mysterious, sexy man, or you know,
a lot of them are like that. That's not to say that there aren't mysterious characters like that.
Yeah.
No, there are mysterious characters that aren't.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Or like you have like the femme fatale kind of like, yeah. But they're in an anime called Madoka Magica, there is a character named Homura, and you like at the very beginning she's introduced as like, you know, you really shouldn't trust her, she's not giving any information, it very much presented as like probably a villain or like going to betray the main character, characters. But then you learn, and I won't spoil anything, but I will say, though, that you, like, learn something about her. You start gathering those bits of information. There's, like, an episode kind of, if I remember correctly, kind of, like, talking about her backstory and, like, why she's doing what she's doing and why she has to be secretive, even, in a way. And it like all of the puzzle pieces come into play, and it's about friendship and love and like, okay, maybe that is spoiling it too much, so I'm sorry, but yeah, it's a very different take on it. So when I saw it, I was just like, wow, this is different.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to talk about Homura without like spoiling because that's part of the whole point of the character, but yeah, she's she does start out very mysterious and is mysterious through most of the show.
Yeah, and there's a whole, like, reason for it. So it's, like, the perfect little plot twist, and it makes sense, and it's mm-hmm. just very cool.
Monica is very well done.
Nice. So, mysteriousness is, like, interesting as a character trait, and we've kind of been touching on this a little, but, like, rather than being a natural part of the character, a lot of times it instead comes from a writer withholding information from the audience. Mm. So, how are characters different when the character is trying to be mysterious versus when the author is trying to make a character mysterious? And do you guys prefer one over the other?
I think I generally prefer when the author orchestrates the mystery.
Yeah.
So, really?
And they continue. Succeed. The caveat is okay. that they are succeeding. So, okay, so for the other way, when a character is actively trying to be mysterious, they frequently aren't as much because we see them trying. They might become more relatable, but you tend to lose some of the mystery. So when this is done well, you have Batman, basically. He has all of these tricks that make him mysterious to other characters, but to the audience, we know his tragic backstory. We know he's actually Bruce Wayne. So the audience is more sympathetic, and he usually comes off as cool more than actually mysterious.
Yeah.
But, okay, so when it's done well, like when the author is withholding information and only shows you intriguing bits of a character and you have this slow reveal, it's really cool. So I'm going to bring up Edward Cullen again. Because in Twilight, the first one, he's pretty mysterious, especially the first time encountering the story, because you're in Bella's perspective and you don't know anything about him. The arc in that book is really good. You're intrigued the entire time. But if you read Midnight Sun, all the mystery is gone. You're literally in Edward's perspective, so there's much less to wonder about. So it's kind of the opposite thing. Like, at that point, Edward is not a mysterious character. He's just, you're in his head. You're living his thoughts. There's nothing to be mysterious about.
That's fair. Ideally, like, author and character would go hand in hand, and, like, it would be a good reveal. Yeah. However, I will raise you. Characters like Rosa Diaz in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and April Ludgate in Parks and Rec, like, I am so here for that kind of character, who, like, it's not that, like, the writers are trying to make them this, like, mysterious being. It's just, they're just don't want anything to do with, like, letting other people get to know them. And it is a fantastic kind of character trait, in my opinion.
I totally love April. Like, super agree. Like, hard. Like, I think it would be nice to see. Every time a character like that pops up, I am delighted, because I usually anticipate at some point that there's going to be some kind of heart to heart, or we're going to learn something. But I have to go with, if it's done well, again, like, going back to Ray's caveat here, like, if it's done well, I think I like it more when the author is more kind of, like, in the driver's seat here, because I found that with those stories, it's a little bit easier to, again, this depends on the story and the mysterious character and all of that, but it's a little bit easier to connect with a character. Like, there's mystery and intrigue with other, like, the character who is trying to be mysterious. And that's cool and fun and, like, interesting. But for some reason, I feel like usually I connect better with the opposite of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I personally hate when the author tries to make a character mysterious. Like, even if it's done well, there's either at the end, like, I feel super betrayed because, like, I was led to, like, believe all of these things, and then, oh no, they're not true. And I'm like, it's not so much a plot twist as just annoying that I spent all of this emotional energy up to this point.
I feel like that's more of a thing where it's done not so well.
Yeah.
Though.
It's like a disaster when it's not done well. Okay. I really don't like that.
I have an example that I don't want to give because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But like, both of you told me this book was fantastic and I read it and I was so annoyed by the end. And I recognized that it did what it was trying to do well. I just hated it.
Okay, after the show, you need to tell us what book.
Yes, we will talk. But yeah, even when it's done well, it annoys me. And then the other reason is, like, this is less that it's done well, but, like, if an author tries to keep a character mysterious for too long, you end up with so many plot holes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Gossip Girl. Like, they try to keep that mysterious, and then you're just like, what is going on? Like, none of this makes sense.
Or, like, they were milking that cash cow. Oh,
like, yeah. Any kind of long series where they try to keep someone mysterious, you're just like, but wait, back in season one, episode six.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I do sway, like, it's more drastic of a, like, a love-hate kind of thing with the author controlling, you know, a mysterious, or, like, kind of the puppeteer. I definitely understand that, rather than, like, oh, delight. There's delight here when a character is introduced and they're trying to be mysterious, and I'm like, oh, yay, hooray, I'm gonna, like this person. But I don't really know what to think of them yet.
Okay.
I still like them, though.
Yeah. I think there is variation in that trying versus succeeding in both of these types.
Yes.
I think if you have a character, like, this character is trying to be mysterious and they are succeeding, they usually come off as cool, basically.
Yes.
If you have this character who is trying to be mysterious and they are failing, and the author is aware of it, it's usually funny, relatable. You tried to be cool and it didn't work. But you can have this weird middle section with that where a character is trying to be mysterious and they aren't, but the author plays it like they are.
Yeah.
And that can be really annoying. And I think it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of the same thing when there's an author sort of deftly revealing and weaving in intriguing bits of information about a character to the point where you're intrigued by this person, but you don't really realize the author is making them mysterious, versus the situation where the author has decided that this thing is going to be mysterious and you're 10 pages in and you're like, oh, he's the bad guy, or he's the love interest, or he's actually trying to protect his family, and you just call it so quickly, but you have to suffer through the long reveal, supposedly, that the main character, who is not supposed to be dumb, but she just can't figure it out. I don't like things like that. That's really annoying.
Yeah. I will say, like, slow character reveals, whether the character is intentionally mysterious or not, like, that is a good thing. Like, releasing pieces of character over time is, like, how you're supposed to write. But
yeah, don't info dump character.
Yeah, it gets annoying to me when, like, the character is supposed to be mysterious, and, like you were saying, Ray, the, like, you kind of, like, know where it's headed a little bit, and the author is just, like, pulling it out, like, little by little. I'm like, oh, did I tell you this? And I'm like, you didn't have to.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people like the idea of the mysterious character, but it can be tricky to actually pull off. So some of this makes me wonder about the trappings of being mysterious versus actual intrigue and mystery. So, for example, gentlemen thieves in disguises, those are definitely the trappings of being mysterious. But if you're reading The Lies of Locke Lamora, Locke and his companions can do all the sneaky stuff, but because you're spending time with those characters and watching them joke with each other and seeing how they set up their cons, that makes them very familiar to you, even though there's things that you don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not as, quote, mysterious, even though they have all of the cool toys and all of the sneaky scheming that goes with being mysterious.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, oh my gosh, just like, I know we've talked about this before because you mentioned like gentleman thieves, but like phantom thieves, as far as anime goes, they're usually like side characters that are introduced very mysterious. You don't know when they're going to pop up, but it's usually some kind of like filler episode. And you're right, like the gentleman thieves have all of those kind of like, they're ticking all the boxes of like, they're already doing these things. They're like conning people out of stuff, and like they have tools and costumes, and they're not showing people their true selves, but since we're inside their heads, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, that does bring up a good point that like there are mysterious character tropes that you don't really have to put a ton of work into for them to work. Like, you've got your gentleman thieves, you've got your mad scientists, like you've got your old money with secrets and bad intentions. Like,
yeah,
those are all things that like just by merit of existing, they're going to be kind of mysterious, you know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you can have other characters that don't have the trappings that, you know, they're not sneaking around at night, they aren't wearing capes or whatever, but they're mysterious because we feel like there's more to know about them. I feel like this was something that Game of Thrones loved to do, was they have a character that just, you think you understand them. Okay, you know that type of person. Okay, moving on. And then they do something that completely shifts your perspective. Like, the particular scene I'm thinking of is there's a character who's, for all intents and purposes, an old man. And he hobbles around, you know, he talks slowly, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's a scene where you see him alone, and he suddenly just does all of, like, these, like, stretches and, like, maneuvers, and you realize he's a lot more capable and able than he's been letting on the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, what else is there to know about that guy?
Yeah, they did do that really well. Like, pretty much every character in that series was mysterious, except for poor Ned.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we kind of started touching on this, but like, obviously for a character to be very mysterious, there needs to be some distance between the character and the audience, or the character and other characters, depending on how you're playing it. So do you guys think it's even possible to have a story told from a mysterious or secretive character's point of view? Or alternately, how much distance is too much distance that they just become a plot device?
Okay, so to answer your first question, my answer is yes, but it's more of an exception than a rule. My answer is Lemony Snicket is the narrator of the series of unfortunate events.
Okay, yep.
And he's a mysterious figure throughout. Of course, this only works because Snicket isn't telling his own story. He's telling the Baudelaire children's story, and you only get little intriguing bits about him. So that allows him to maintain quite a lot of distance, even though he's literally the one talking to you.
Yeah,
that is a good point. I will accept that exception to the rule.
Okay, so I have a question for you two. What do you think of those? Okay, I recently read a book, and I actually liked how this part was done, but what do you think of like a character that you can connect with? Like, maybe this character is telling you, you know, her thoughts and her ideas and her dreams, and she has a motivation. Like, she is a very like proactive character. However, there might be something that she's not necessarily telling you, and it's done in like third person. So not first person, but third person. So there's some distance there. And every time this thing comes up, like maybe it's a traumatic event, or maybe it's like I guess typically it's like some kind of like trauma. And so this character shuts off, and again, like there's some distance with the third person perspective. how do you guys feel about those? Like, they come up and the character's like thinking about one thing and then vaguely mentions like, oh, and my husband, when he did that one thing, and then it just, they move on. Like, they, you can connect with them with other things, but there's like this one event. I don't know if that's necessarily mysterious.
I hate it so much.
Okay.
It's one of my pet peeves when authors are like telling a story from a character's point of view and they'll be like, this thing happened, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I'm my gosh. Like, I can usually guess the tenor of what happened because of everything around it. And so, like, when you get to the like 300 page mark and there's this big reveal, you're like, yes, I knew.
Yep. Uh huh.
Or like, if you can't guess it, then like, what's the point of even mentioning it, you know?
Uh-huh. All right. Or like mentioning like, oh, on that night, and then not like elaborating.
Yeah, no, I hate it. I hate it so much. All right.
I like those things more when they're played for humor. So not about a particular event, but the character will just sort of offhandedly refer to some crazy event that like, oh yeah, that time I got arrested or whatever, and then just proceed like normal. Yes. And you're sitting here like, wait, you got arrested? But like, okay. They don't explain this, the story moves on. And yeah, no, I like those a lot because they're just funny, basically.
Okay,
that's fair. Phoebe Buffay and Friends does that really well. Like, they'll just drop some random thing, like, oh yeah, when I was in jail, and they're like, what? And then they just move on.
Uh-huh. So humor, which, yeah. There's a lot of forgiveness there.
You can do anything for humor, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I will say, like, the majority of the time, I do not like it, because I'm like, well, why aren't you just telling me this? But I feel like... sometimes it is done and I will accept it.
What makes a difference for you?
I think, well, first off, I don't think it can be in first person. It needs to be in third person, and there needs to be some distance there. Like, or if it's kind of like a narrator.
Even if it's third narrating. Person close.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what it is, but I think there are like certain exceptions where maybe I feel like there are some books that do it interestingly where this character is like this is such a bad example, but something like it starts off first chapter and this character is covered in blood and something like that. And then it's like, oh, that's intriguing, but they don't explain it. And this character, I mean, could be a time hop, but if this character's mysterious and they're hiding it or they don't want to think about it, it's the avoidance. Like, I can kind of understand the whole trauma response I accept that, but I don't usually like it when it's, oh yes, and Henry, I know what he did. And then like, I'm like, well, what did he do? Why'd you mention it then?
I also find it so annoying when the author, the narrator, plays up the event to be bigger than it actually is. You can't imagine, and it was so bad, and it was so much worse than anything you can imagine. It's and you're sitting here like, did somebody die? Is that it? Is that literally it? Someone was murdered.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's all.
YA does that so badly. Like, I've read so many books where, like, oh my gosh, like everything fell apart, and it turns out they just like got bullied once, and you're like, yes, that's bad, but like,
I mean, did you really sometimes need it makes to, like, sense
string me along for 300 pages?
Well, but sometimes, I mean, again, like, I do agree because, like, as an adult, I recognize like. Well, that's all, but as a teenager, and since it's written for teenagers, there are certain things that come up and I'm like,
the book that I'm thinking of is for adults, but like, it happens a lot in YA, and I have a little more space for it there because those things do tend to be more dramatic. The characters tend to be more dramatic.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for it. I understand why it's in there. And, a lot of times it's probably even correct. I don't have the patience.
Right. That's fine.
I think, for me, there are two ways that, a mysterious character can tell a story. One is if it's, a character study, if it's not actually trying to, focus on plot, and it's just, the inside of this person's head and how they see the world and how they talk to other people. I'm here for that. It's a very specific, if the market's flooded with it, I would hate it, I'm thinking. But I think that could be interesting. I also generally like if we learn about a character as the character learns about themselves.
Oh yeah.
So I think fantasy and YA fantasy does this a lot where you're learning about this character and then she realizes she has powers and then you figure out her powers with her, even though everyone around her already knew.
Yes. That yeah. Kind of
chosen one type thing. it's a little contrived, but I'm usually here for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just can't see it too many times. I don't know if I read it too many times, I'm all right, I need a break. I need to do something else.
That is a thing. Mystery has to be always kind of new.
Yeah.
Even if you're playing with familiar tropes, you have to do something a little bit different. Otherwise, it's not. I don't know.
So, okay. I have, hopefully a quick question, but it just reminded me. Why I can, watch 1001 Heists and still be fascinated. I know the structure. I know, there's supposed to be a twist or someone's supposed to betray someone or, things are going to go wrong and, whoops, no, that was all part of the plan. I know the pattern. Is that just, story pattern rather than intrigue or, plot twist?
So my take on it, I have not seen nearly as many heists as you have, but, my take on it is that, pacing and pattern are different from detail.
That's fair.
Because, the way you pace a mysterious character, too, is probably going to be pretty similar, story to story. But, it's if the details are too similar, that's when you start getting into issues and start getting boring.
Yeah, I just know there are certain, tropes that come up, and I'm I'm here for it every time. Of course, yeah. Of course, there's the bad guy is closing in on them and they have 5 seconds to crack a safe. But I'm all right, are they going to do it this time? Of course they are. But
I feel heists are also a lot more character focused. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You start caring about
ensemble
personalities. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is more, I agree. It is more about I'm fascinated by how these characters are going to come together and pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things with mysterious characters is you don't see as much of their personality by nature of them being mysterious. And so it's not quite as interesting in that way, at least.
Well, part of something being mysterious, too, is it does, you mentioned, it hinges on being new. Otherwise, it isn't mysterious. We have to have something to wonder about, because if we've seen something too similar, then we're already calling it, and it's not mysterious anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so other side of the question. How much distance is too much distance that, a mysterious character just becomes a plot device?
Is it bad for them to just become a plot device?
Yeah. Well,
that is another question.
I think there are some that function simply as a plot device, particularly in media for younger, kids and stuff like that. You just have someone who shows up at, you have a character that shows up at the correct moments to further the plot onto the next bit, and everyone's like, what's that guy's deal? And, his deal is he's there to further the plot and, make you learn your lessons or whatever else. It's pure plot device, but you can have it. You can do it that way.
That's true. Like your mysterious villains and your fairy godmothers and all of them.
Yeah.
They're like, it's fine if they're just plot devices with some good one-liners.
Yes. What about, and I know, like, at least I haven't read any in recent memory, but like omniscient narrator, like very, like limited third distance narrators where
they're kind of like narrators.
Yes. So, which like I've read and I've loved, and I feel like though it needs to be done in such a way to like properly get the full effect, like there's a fine line between head hopping and omniscient narrator. And
yeah,
I've definitely read some books that did not do it all that well, was definitely just head hopping, and did not fully commit. You have to like fully commit and like know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm perfectly fine with that.
You have to be interesting. Like, in order to be a good omniscient narrator, you have to be an interesting person with an interesting voice.
Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. Since a lot of things being published like want to fit into the status quo, you're not going to get as many of those like unique voices. But also, like, I think it's a personal thing too. Like, you as a person have to connect with the person who is writing the omniscient narrator, which adds another layer of whatever difficulty.
It's also like practice too, because the reason why I say this is like every time I do jump into like, let's say a classic that's omniscient, or like even a mod, like anything that's omniscient narrator, I have to almost like after a few give it like a few chapters, because I'm so used to reading close third or like first person that I have to like train my brain to accept like, no, this is intentional. They're supposed to jump from character to character.
Yep.
And then I'm fine.
But, yeah, it is an adjustment because it's so rare.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like that's a little more common in... Well, I suppose you're right with head hopping. It's a little more common, I think, in fantasy and maybe sci-fi, because there are so many aspects of the world that the author wants to get across. So you have a narrator that can go anywhere and tell you about all the different inner workings of this person, this place, this piece of magic, this piece of technology. And I don't know, as soon as you said, like, we're talking about omniscient narrators and voices, I'm immediately thinking of Terry Pratchett's Discworld, where he will just hop to the other side of the world to tell you some bit that is probably related to the main plot line, but is also just funny, typically.
Yeah.
Something else that exists in the Discworld. Like.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting to me that like a lot of the omniscient narrators I went toward were also funny. Because like I also thought of Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams and Lewis Carroll. Like they've all got that like, I'm going to tell you about everything in the world and I have a comment on it too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a very obvious answer to the question. If you want a mysterious character to stay a character and not a plot device, like, keep them a character, give them wants, give them flaws, give them quirks.
And that's part of what makes them satisfying too frequently is, okay, so part of what can make a character mysterious is that you don't know what they want, you don't know what they're trying to do, and if that is revealed, if they're revealed to have an interesting, satisfying motivation, that can be so cool because it makes everything click into place.
Yeah.
It can be a little frustrating if they're revealed to have a certain motivation and you're like, that doesn't track with all of the things that you did, or that's some convoluted reasoning you went through to supposedly, like, oh, you're going to, I don't know, save this person by tormenting them. Great. Yes, that is, Like, how did you come up with this? But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, almost feels like it needs to have like a great punchline. Like you're telling a joke, and if the punchline doesn't live up to the joke, it's going to fall flat. So it's like working that same kind of like magic trick of, all right, flipping the card over and you're surprised. It's just so hard to do.
Yeah. I've also seen authors try to like make a character mysterious by setting them up one way and then being like, just kidding, that's not actually what they're like. And I hate it so much because that's just not how you build characters. And they're like, oh, but they were putting on a show and they were doing this on purpose. And I'm like, yeah, but so were you, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some strengths to having a mysterious character in a story?
It can be so exciting. Intrigue. Yes.
Yeah, it makes me want to keep reading. I'm like, who is this person? I want to find out. Definitely. And then you get like little trickles of information.
Yeah, it definitely drives pacing, drives plot.
Yeah.
It also, I think, results in interesting character dynamics. Because, like, if you're trying to write a character that thinks they're mysterious, like I was saying with, like, April Ludgate, like, love watching her interact with other people. Because, like, you don't know what's going to happen next. And it's usually a good time. Like, we talk a lot about how, like, morally gray characters aren't wild cards and like all the rest, and I feel like mysterious characters can kind of be wild cards. Like they still have to be consistent, but if you decide to make them consistently weird, then like that's a thing you can do.
Yeah
You're constantly being surprised. It's the surprise factor of like, okay, are they gonna consistently be hilarious? Are they going to like, oh, we don't know this one thing about them. Is this going to be revealed later on as like an important plot related thing? When is this going to happen? It's like a ticking time bomb.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you see like a bunch of things that don't seem consistent, but then in the end, like they all, you, something else is revealed and you're like, oh, they did all make sense together. Like,
I love that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, flip side. What are some weaknesses to having a mysterious character in a story?
From a writing perspective, I think it can be difficult to share the right pieces of information about a character. If you don't share anything intriguing, the character just comes across as flat. But if you explain them too well, then, or their shtick is too obvious, you lose all of that intrigue.
Yeah Fine line. Yeah, it's weird too because it could go either way. Like if the author, if the author gives you too much information too soon, people are like, oh, why did I even read this? I'm going to stop reading it. But if you don't give them enough, like there's certain characters where if you just give them a sprinkle of information, you're like, wow, this character is so mysterious and like this is intentional and this feels right. But then there are times where it's like, why don't I know anything about this character? It didn't seem to make sense for the story for you not to reveal at least like this key piece of information. And sometimes this happens like TV shows because maybe they're like planning on, I don't know, adding it later down the road in like a longer series. But I honestly really hate it because I'm like, I kind of love it, hate it. It depends on how it's done. I can love it in the sense of like, oh, I want to talk with other people and see if we can figure out who this person is. Like, I think that's the intention behind it, maybe.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, oh, I can totally see the puppet strings and I don't like it.
TV shows also run into the problem where like, oh, so-and-so had a scheduling conflict, so we're going to make up a plot line that, you know, makes them mysterious now.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, maybe that's why it happens like that.
I think one thing I see a lot is like, if the story hinges on a character being mysterious, then the story tends to feel kind of thin because like, nothing else is going on. And if you call it, like we were talking about earlier, like if you call it, then you're bored. But if you don't call it, then you're just kind of like, what is even happening?
So true. Then I stop reading before it ends, or I stop watching before it ends, and I'm like, move on.
You skip to the end.
You just don't care.
Yeah, you skip to, just to find out. And then it's like, okay, that wasn't that. I'm glad I didn't waste my time. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry I'm saying this, but really, I have so many books to read that.
Go read the Wikipedia summary if it's big enough, then.
It's true. Yeah, bad mysterious characters are probably at the top of my, like, did not finish list.
Good.
Because if that's the only thing going for the story, like, I've said this before, I read and watch stories for characters. Like, that is what I like about shows. And so if, like, the main thing is not getting information about a character, I'm just like, okay, I'm bored.
Yeah, true. Or, like, it also runs the risk of, and we kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but not being able to connect with the character. Because if I know nothing about this character and this person's running around and doing, like, mysterious crap, like, why should I care? I don't know what they're doing and I don't know who they are.
Exactly.
And, I don't know. If they're not amusing, at least, then I don't care and I stop reading.
Yeah, you always need to, like, balance a mysterious character with other things. Like, whether it's a fast-paced plot happening around them or, like, another character that is not mysterious or something. Just there needs to be something else going on so that that's not the only thing. Unless you're, like, a very talented person who is capable of, like, pulling off a story just about a mysterious character. I think it could happen. I don't know how it would happen, but...
I mean... Okay, we're talking about Twilight again. But even Twilight, with Bella as hung up as she is on Edward, he's a huge part of the story. And she still has other things going on. Oh, she has to go to school. Oh, Edward's not at school right now. Okay. She has to go shopping with her friends. Okay. Just other things happen, and she kind of goes about her life. Even if even if the whole time we're thinking about Edward.
Yeah, that is a good point.
And that's true for, like, okay, so maybe it is because we have, like, another character that maybe we can relate to, or at least we know, like, their motivations. Because then, like, thinking about the Great Gatsby. Gatsby is a mysterious character, at least. You know, like, we don't know a lot about him in the beginning, and we have this narrator, this character that's just kind of, like, obsessed with him and following around and trying to figure things out. And we're intrigued because they're intrigued. So, yeah, maybe that's part of the, like, it could happen if you have a character that you know something about.
Thinking about Gatsby, you can't be mysterious in a vacuum. So there are other plot things going on around this person. How did he, like, because Gatsby's whole thing is he's trying to act like a rich person when he came from a not rich background, something like that, right? So there's a bunch of things going on. But so when you're being told about Gatsby, you're not only being told about Gatsby, you're being told about, like, the people that he spent time with, and you're being told about, like, this part of the city and, like, all the drama that's going on with these other people that are nearby and partying, and you just get the whole atmosphere as well as, oh, okay, so that sets the backdrop, and that generates an environment for Gatsby to exist in.
That is a really good point. Like, you need something for the character to be mysterious about. So, like, something else has to necessarily be happening. I will say, coming back to Twilight, I think one of the things that at least makes me more forgiving of that mysterious character, and, like, even liking that mysterious character, is the circumstances. Because, like, who hasn't had a crush on somebody and been like, oh my gosh, I need to know everything about them, but I'm too afraid to talk to them. Like, whatever.
Relatable.
And so, like, within that context, I'm like, oh yeah, of course Edward Cullen is mysterious. Like, even if he weren't a vampire, he would be mysterious, you know, because Bella is 17 and has a crush on him. So that's another thing to take into account. Like, I have less forgiveness for Gatsby as a mysterious character because I don't understand why Nick is so obsessed with him. Like, that's not a thing that's ever happened to me, going to a place and being like, I need to know everything about this person right next to me. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
What's the attraction there? Like, what's going on? But, like, you're right, like, with Twilight and the Cullens. Like, just the Cullens in general. It's like, who are those people? Oh, they're the Cullens.
Why are they showing up to lunch and not eating? Just
they're
every
all super
day.
Pale. And
they're all super hot.
And they're all hot.
And hot. And, like, why? Why is this family all, like, one way? There's usually some black sheep, but no, they're all kind of similar. And they all do the same. And they all go on family outing. Why? That's creepy. What's going on?
They don't seem to talk to anyone else. Yeah.
And they just stare and look off in the distance. They don't even talk to each other at lunch. They're just...
They don't look like... Yeah, they don't look like they're talking
statues.
To each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, most mysterious characters tend to be hot. Like...
It does tend to increase interest.
Yeah, it just... It makes people interested in them. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That seems... questionable, but I guess it makes sense.
There are mysterious characters that are specifically not hot. I mean, enter all the tropes of somehow disfigured villain characters, and part of the mystery that's around that is, how did they become disfigured? Why do they look like that? Why are they weird? Just
that's true when you take out, like, just problematic typecasting.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think we've also talked about this in previous episodes, but, like, a character doesn't necessarily have to be hot for another character to think they're hot, you know?
That's also true.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you're interested in someone, like, you're going to think they're more attractive.
I mean, Phantom of the Opera right there. Like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, his entire point is that he's
definitely sexy.
Disfigured and hot. That's true. I mean, I guess you've got all your, like, mad scientists and whatnot who are not hot. They're just, like, a little bit unhinged and doing interesting things.
Right.
Okay, so, of course, our last question. Are there other good ways to write this character trait or to not write it?
Can we, like, circle back around to the, there are only two types of mysterious characters, hot and, like, bad boy, or, like, femme fatale, or, like, a, you know, woman attractive.
I did not say there are only two types.
Mostly
two types.
I will say, like, popularity-wise, like, there only seems to be two types lately. I will correct myself there.
Okay.
And, obviously, because we've been talking about other, like, exceptions and all of that. But I want to say, like, please, can someone write more mysterious characters? And again, like, we did mention, like, mad scientists and everything like that. Like, that's cool. I want to see more of those just in general. But I also want to see, like, again, and I know this is difficult to do, but kind of like that puzzle piece of, like, okay, well, even if it's something like there's a mysterious character and the reason why they're mysterious is, like, this puzzle piece that you're going to find out later and you get, like, little nuggets here and there. But I know this is, like, the hardest one to write, but I want to see more of it.
I will add a caveat to that. Mysterious children are creepy AF and don't do that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, unless you're writing a horror story, then that's fine.
Yeah, excellent for horror stories.
Mysterious children. But, and again, I'm sure there are, like, exceptions to everything, but for the most part, I feel like what I seem to notice is a problem, is revealing too much information too soon to, like, that mysterious character, because there needs to be some, again, like, talking about that intrigue, there needs to be some kind of, like, building of tension or, like, suspicion or, again, like, intrigue that I need to have, and there's a fine line, right? So probably find, like, good alpha beta readers and get them to read it and get them to respond to, like, oh, this is what I thought. But pacing is a huge thing with mysterious characters. So practice pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming off of that, like, know where you're going with the story. But we say this almost like every other episode, but if you're going to write a mysterious character, know what your end goal is. So you know how to build up to that. Like, don't pull a Gossip Girl where you get to the end and you're just like, but wait, how does any of this fit?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're talking ways to not write it, a pet peeve of mine, as I was starting to mention with like the trappings of a character being mysterious, the tropes and trappings are not what makes the character mysterious. So you can't just put a guy in a cape and call it mysterious. That's what I'm saying.
But you can put a guy in a cape. I'm here for guys in capes.
You can put a guy in a cape, but that does not mean he is automatically mysterious.
This is
we
true.
Know who you are, Tuxedo Mask.
Uh-huh.
This might be like a very specific piece of advice, but like, if you're going to introduce something in a certain way, like, don't try to hide that you're introducing them in that way and then pretend like it's a surprise later.
Can you does that make elaborate? Any sense?
Yeah.
So, like, thinking in the realm of, like, fairy books, like, you get this hot guy, and he's introduced with all the trappings of a fairy prince, and then they, like, the author tries to hide it, and they're like, oh, no, he's just a normal human, and, like, the main character is just like, oh, no, he's just a normal hot human, and then, like, 100 pages later, he's a fairy prince, and you're like, really?
What? Really? The guy who looks like a fairy prince is actually a fairy prince?
That is right? That's so true. I can probably think of like 5 titles right now that do this. And like, I hate it.
Like a duck, quacks like a duck, and like suddenly 100 pages later you tell me it's a duck and you're like, oh, yeah, did we not establish that?
And it's like any kind of mythical creature. It's like, no, sir, ma'am, that man is a mermaid. Like, we already knew that.
Yep. Yeah, I
hate that.
I said that mostly because I recently read Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairy, and it did that very well. Like, it introduced a character and was like, I think this is what is this, or like, I think that's what is happening, and then like, it turns out that's what's happening, but you're still surprised because like, other things happen around it, and I'm like, this is refreshing. Like, I don't remember the last time this happened and I was okay with it.
And I think it's because like, the main character is amazing, but like, yeah. Emily Wilde is very much like, well, this is probably what's like, she's just kind of like, she doesn't really care either way, but she's like, I'm pretty sure I figured out that this person is, again, like going back to that, this person is like, insert mythical creature here. And then turns out, yeah, of course, but she just doesn't really, it's not intriguing to her. She's just kind of like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah. She's just like, this is possible. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was impressed that book still managed to surprise me. Like, yes. it was a good story. You should read it.
Okay. So good.
I will say, like, taking this a lot more meta, because I like doing that. I think it's good for every character to have an element of mystery.
Oh,
at least in that, like,
ooh, yeah.
You release their character bit by bit, and like, when you're writing dialogue, characters should never say exactly what they mean, because that's not what people do. That's not how people talk. They like talk around something they want to say, or they get distracted and they say something like adjacent to what they want to say. Mm-hmm. And so like, taking the elements of mysterious characters and applying them to everyone is a good idea, even if they're not necessarily like mysterious characters.
Yeah. We're all a little bit mysterious in our own right.
And nature of being human.
Right. Because, like, I mean,
you contain multitudes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then also, like, when you first meet someone, you're not going to just be like, oh, yeah, when I was 6, this is what happened to me. And it's like this big moving moment. Like, no, you offer that, like, over time.
Please tell me your life story right now.
Yes. What happened to you?
What?
I'm going to start doing that. Just be like, hi, my name is Kristen. Tell me your life story.
Yeah.
I have done that with varying That's levels amazing. Of amazing.
It's so funny because whenever you do try to ask those like deep, meaningful questions, people are like, wait, what? Like, And like most of the time they do answer them, but it is interesting. It's like a societal weight. Hold on, I didn't expect this.
That's the other thing. Like, people are not perfectly self-aware. Like, if you tell some, if you ask someone to tell them your life, if you ask someone to tell you their life story, then like they're not really going to know where to start. Like, they're not going to know what's important. Like, most people just don't have an answer to that ready because they don't regularly think about their life story. And so, like, that's true of characters too.
Yeah.
Things that are very tricky to write because you have to juggle what's actually going on and what each of these characters thinks is going on.
Yeah.
And it can get very complicated very quickly. And it's so cool when someone actually does it.
Secret History did that well, I think. Because you had, like, what was actually happening, and then you had what Richard thought was happening, and then you had what all of the other characters thought the other characters were doing, and it was good. It was slow, but it was good. And that's our episode. So, listeners, what do you think? Email us at totroperenottotrope@gmail.com and let us know. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another trope. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing.